You're listening to the Taylor Marshall Show, episode 20. Today we talk about what to do when your prayer life feels like a chore. Oh, and by popular demand, the old intro music is back. Here it is. So the old intro music and outro music is back. As soon as I put up episode 19 last week, I started getting almost immediate feedback on Facebook, email, and on the blog saying, I don't like the new intro. I'm like, man, people don't like the new intro. Well, we'll wait and we'll see. Maybe more positive feedback will come back. As you know, if you listen to episode 19, I kind of was going for that Hobbit-esque Irish Gaelic sound. I even had an Irish guy speaking on there, and I thought it was really cool. I like it. I still like it. But I started getting the negative feedback, and Joy, my wife, who listens to all the podcasts, she hadn't listened to it yet. And so that evening, I said, hey, I got a big surprise for you. I put a new intro music on the podcast. Check it out. So she went to the other room after the kids. I can't remember if the kids were down or not, but anyway, she went to the other room, and I could hear her listening to it on the laptop. And after a while, she came back in the room, and she didn't say anything. And then later that night, we were getting ready for bed, and so I said, so what'd you think of the new podcast intro? And she's like, well, I kind of like the old one better. I was like, oh, sabotage. Even my own wife likes the old one. So because of all the requests and also my wife's kind disapproval, we're back to the old intro music, which kind of gets your head nodding and your foot tapping, get you pumped up for the show as well. So we're going to keep it. And for those who are new to the show, welcome. My name is Taylor Marshall, and this is the podcast for everyone who wants to develop and create daily habits and learn enough theology to take their faith to the next level. And my goal this week is to help you, and to be honest, myself, transcend the mentality that prayer is just a chore. I struggle with this all the time, and I received an email from a gentleman named Alex, and I've been sending out to my readers, what do you want to know more about? What do you struggle with? And he said, you know, I really struggle with thinking of prayer as a chore. And I was like, oh, that is the exact words of how I feel, prayer as a chore. And I was like, that would be a great podcast topic because it's something that I'm interested in, something that I've struggled with. And I have three tips that help me. These are personal things that help me, and a bunch of quotes from saints and blesseds to help us revisit or rethink what prayer is supposed to be and why it's not just a chore, why it's a place of great joy, and how we can think of it as not a chore, but as a privilege. That's today's featured segment. We also have a great show lined up. We, of course, have our tip of the week. We have our proverb of the week, which relates to prayer. And our saint this week is going to be Saint Alexander of Constantinople. And his story relates to the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest heretic in the church. And by greatest, I don't mean best. I mean the most influential, the worst heretic, Arius. Arius. And we're going to learn about how Arius died going to the restroom in a public bathroom. It's humorous and memorable. You won't forget it. And it relates to our saint today, Saint Alexander. So stay tuned for that later in the show after the featured segment. And of course, we have our Latin word of the week. The Latin word of the week this week is precare, and we'll talk about what that means at the end of the show and also what words it relates to in English. So it's going to be a great show. And we'll begin right away with our tip of the week. And the tip of the week is email subscriptions. This is not a supernatural religious tip. This is just something very practical that I find helpful. You know, there are certain blogs and sites that I like to read, and I don't like to just bookmark them or sign up through RSS feed. What I do is I sign up as an email subscriber, and what this does is it pushes the new content into my email box. In other words, I'll get a notification, an email saying, hey, so-and-so has published a new post on his site or her blog. And the reason I like that is because I don't have to spend time visiting blogs, which, as you know, can be a huge black hole of time. It can, just like Facebook, it can suck away minutes, hours, and years from your life. So just don't do it. So instead, have them come to you. So you sign up for an email subscription to their site, and most major sites have this option. I have it at taylormarshall.com. If you go to taylormarshall.com, in the top right, you can put your email address in there and your first name, and you'll get an email from me 2 to 3 times a week with theology tips and also a reminder of this podcast. So I would encourage you, if you haven't done that already, go to taylormarshall.com and put your email in there and sign up. But anyway, you can do this for all kinds of sites, and so it'll just come automatically and it'll save you hours of time. So that's the tip of the week. Get into email subscriptions for your favorite blogs and stop surfing and just get the information that you need. Now, our proverb of the week is Proverbs chapter 15, verse 29, and it reads like this, quote, "The Lord is far from the wicked, and he will hear the prayers of the just," end quote. Now, I'm concerned here with that second half, "and he will hear the prayers of the just." Oftentimes, we worry that God doesn't hear our prayer or doesn't answer our prayer. God always answers our prayer. It's just that sometimes he says yes, which we like. Sometimes he says no, but most of the time, get this, he says not yet. In other words, he's put a desire in our heart, a longing, and we want it, but the timing isn't right. And God, in his wisdom and his prudence, which is perfect, and his providence, knows the right timing. So let's say that you really want to enter into the sacrament of matrimony, but that person hasn't come yet. It's not that God has said, no, I don't want you to be married. He just said, not yet. I'm still working on you to prepare you for this vocation, and I'm still working on your future spouse to prepare you. Or it could apply to the religious life, or it could apply to your employment, your career, whatever it is. Sometimes God says, not yet. But the key here is, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're in a state of grace, grace is residing in your soul, you're not in rebellion, you're not committing mortal sin, or if you have committed mortal sin, you've been reconciled through the sacrament of confession and penance. The righteousness of Christ has been poured into your soul. The Holy Trinity dwells there, and God hears your prayer. You are amongst the priesthood, the royal priesthood of believers, the lay priesthood, and you have direct access to God through Jesus Christ. So he does hear your prayers, and that's a great privilege. If you struggle with this, if you struggle with your identity in Christ, I would encourage you to listen to last week's podcast. That's the one with the intro and outro music that people didn't like. All right. And if you listen to that podcast, we go through 12 identifiers, 12 attributes that God has given you in Christ, and they're very encouraging. To be honest, in the last week since I recorded that podcast, I had a moment where I was discouraged, and I actually opened up the show notes for that podcast and read them again to myself. You see, so I need this as well, right? I need to be reminded of my own identity in Christ weekly, at least, right? So go listen to that podcast and be encouraged, and I think you'll have a great sense of peace and joy when you realize all the things that God's given you and how he looks at you. He not only loves you, but he likes you, and he wants to bless you. So check that out. That's episode 19. Go to taylormarshall.com, click on podcast. You'll see all the shows there, and listen to number 19. So that's our proverb of the week, and now let's go to our featured segment, how to reimagine or transcend the notion that prayer is a chore or feels like a chore. So last night, a good friend of mine, Rob Denikoski, he invited me to go to an evening of recollection with Opus Dei. And when I first came into the church in 2006, I would go to evenings of recollection in Washington, D.C. Every month. And it was a great benefit. Of course, there's benediction of the Blessed Sacrament, examination of conscience, and recollections given by the priest there. And I did some of that when we moved to Dallas, but to be honest, for the last couple of years, I hadn't gone to a recollection. And I thought I'd go, and it was very good. It felt like, I told Joy, you know, I've been moving so fast in life, and then being there in the quiet and hearing some of the encouraging words, it was kind of like hitting the brakes. And when you know, like when you're in the car and you hit the brakes really hard and your body kind of flings forward, that's kind of what it felt like spiritually. And it was a good experience. And I went to confession with one of the priests there. And one of the things we started talking about in confession, and I brought it up because I was thinking and working on this podcast, is prayer as a chore, which is something that I struggle with. And I'd already kind of worked out the suggestions for how to do that and what I've done before, but it was good to hear it from him in a fresh way. And the priest, the father said, well, when it feels like a chore, you're lacking in love. You're lacking in love, and you won't have peace, and you won't have joy to the extent that you don't have love. And that's, of course, something that I know, and you find that all over the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But it was refreshing. So we talked a little bit about that, and I'm going to share some of his insights and some of my own personal experience with regard to accomplishing our daily prayer, which we need to do. I mean, we have to pray every day. We have to have a daily connection with Christ. We can't just say hello to him on Sunday morning and then go about our merry business the rest of the week. We really do need to get in touch with him. And I'm going to lead off with a quote from Blessed Mother Teresa. It goes like this, quote, "The practice of mental prayer is necessary to reach that goal because it is the breath of life in our soul. Holiness is impossible without it. It is only in mental prayer and spiritual reading that we cultivate the gift of prayer. Mental prayer is greatly fostered by simplicity, that is, forgetfulness of self and of the body and of sense, and by frequent aspirations that feed our prayer." Very beautiful, end quote. So what I like about that quote is she mentions in there the gift of prayer. Prayer is a gift. It's something that God gives us. The ability to come into his presence and to open our hearts and to have an intimate union with God is a gift from God. It comes from him and it returns back to him. In a certain sense, that's very Thomistic. It's very Catholic. The graces come from him and lead back to him. And Mother Teresa is keenly aware of that. But that doesn't mean that we do nothing. We participate in that activity, that divine activity. And so we have to cultivate the gift of prayer. So Mother Teresa says there, I'm going to read that sentence again. It is only in mental prayer and spiritual reading that we cultivate the gift of prayer. So God gives the gift, and then we have to cultivate it. And so the question that comes to mind is, well, how do you cultivate? Okay, well, when you cultivate, in Latin, it's coming from a verb there, which is taking care of fields, planting and watching the crops grow and harvesting. That's cultivating. We have to do the same thing in our life. So in baptism and through faith, God has planted that gift of prayer. And over time, we must water it, give it sunlight, and give it fertilizer and nutrient for it to grow. And I promised three suggestions or three ways to encourage you to not think of prayer as a chore. And the first one is that the most common and easiest solution is simply to utter three words to God, and that is, I love you. All right, it's to put yourself in the posture of a lover and to say, I love you. You know, there's a quote, I was trying to find it before the podcast and I couldn't. It's from St. Thérèse of Lisieux. And she says, and she talks about her struggles with mental prayer. She said, when all else fails, I simply say, I love you, Lord. And when we move into our prayer and it's a chore and we're frustrated, we're like, oh, I've got to get this done, I've got so much to do. The proper, and what Father reminded me last night, the proper response, the proper posture of your soul is simply to retreat to love and say, I love you. And if it takes saying I love you over and over, or to maybe think of him on the cross and say, I love you, or to think of yourself holding the hand of the Blessed Virgin Mary and looking at Christ and saying, I love you, or to look at him tiny and in the manger and say, I love you, or maybe all of these, or to go through each scene of the rosary or scenes in the gospel and say, I love you. And just to do that, it brings us back to what's most important. Because when we think of it as a chore, we're thinking of it as in terms of like a mercantile exchange where I scratch your back, you scratch my back. And oftentimes we grow to resent those kinds of relationships. If someone wants to give you something for free, but then later remind you that you now have to give them something and is very specific about it, we naturally resent that. And for those of us who are married, you know right away that when you're in a marriage, that's not how marriage works. You can't keep a tally card. The minute you begin keeping a tally card and keeping score in your marriage is the very instant in which you become bitter, resentful, and have a horrible marriage. So the answer is a generosity through love, saying, I love you. And you know, there's certain things that Pope Francis has said in the last several months that echo this as well, that we must return to love of God and love of neighbor. So again, it's something you already knew, of course. Loving God first and your neighbor as yourself is the core of the gospel, and it's the core of our prayer life. And sometimes when we're starting to get into that mode of it being a chore, we have to retreat to love and realize that is where we find God. Okay, so number two, this one's a bit more practical, and it's the use of images and sound. Now, the Carmelite tradition would tell us that as you go up in the spiritual life, as you ascend in the mystical life, the need for images or these kind of things becomes less, right? You don't need it. However, I'm not there yet. So for me, it's helpful to have a picture of Christ with his Sacred Heart. I'm looking at one right now. It's right above the microphone. It's a picture of Christ. He's pointing to his Sacred Heart. It's very beautiful. Flames coming out. A drop of blood is dripping out. Looking at an image like that is helpful for me to focus on what I'm doing, right? Or having even a book with religious images in it. One of the things I did for the children is I put together like a PowerPoint presentation with scenes of scripture, and you can just put them on a laptop or even on your TV and move through those as you pray. And, you know, for me, I'll start thinking about all the things I need to do or a check I need to write or an email I need to respond to. These are things that flood into my mind when I'm trying to pray. Having that image sort of distracts me away from that back to the Lord or back to the mystery that I should be reflecting on. And another one that I've been using lately is that of sound. And here I mean like a white noise track, because sometimes, and I like to do my morning prayer at the office, but there are distractions like a door slamming. If you're at home, sometimes you hear a jackhammer three blocks away, a cat meowing, a dog barking, you know, all these things that we hear, and it can be distracting. And even those little things can knock us off course when we're trying to pray. So what I've done on my iPhone is I have some white noise tracks. And they're usually, the ones I like are like rain, and it's very quiet, and you put it on, and at first you notice it, but after a couple minutes, you don't notice it anymore, and it blocks out a lot of just the ambient noise that's in our lives. There's another one, it's like an ocean track, you know, you can hear the roar of the ocean, and for me, when I hear that, I don't think about it, but it kind of brings my heart rate down and my breathing, and it relaxes me. So I would, maybe there are spiritual masters out there that think this is a bad idea. For me, it's helpful because it blocks out any of those other distractions. So by using a sacred image and by sound, what you're doing is you're helping two senses that easily become distracted, your eyes and your ears, and in a certain sense, guarding them during this time of prayer. And then the third one is what I call framing. I don't know what else to call it, but it's having a little ritual or thing you do before you begin in prayer and then at the end of prayer. So you're framing it, you know, or bookends. Bookends would be another analogy. And St. Francis of Sales has a great quote on this. I'm going to share it. It goes like this, quote, "Begin all prayer, whether mental or vocal, by an act of the presence of God. If you observe this rule strictly, you will soon see how useful it is, end quote. So it's difficult just to go into prayer and begin from scratch. It's almost like trying to, when you're running, to just begin sprinting and stay sprinting. You need a warm-up. You know, anytime you exercise, you want to raise the temperature of your body. You want to become limber, because otherwise you're going to have injuries or you're not going to perform as well. I've noticed in just working out, drinking two giant glasses of water will greatly increase my abilities to either lift weights or to run. The same thing happens in prayer. So you have to have a preliminary ritual. And what I would St. Francis recommends, making an act in the presence of God and saying, God, I'm here. You see me. You know me. I'm present before you. My guardian angel is here. The host of heaven surround me as a cloud of witnesses. And to place yourself in an environment of prayer. I also like to begin with three Hail Marys, just asking Our Lady to help me pray. And then at the end, the same thing. So you have a warm up and you have kind of a warm down. And this would be a time, I say here three Glory Bees at the end. And then I also take this time to make a supplication. And so I usually make a request after the time of prayer, Lord, please do this for me or for someone else today. And then I make an act of gratitude for either that time of prayer or something going on. And that kind of, you know, eases me back out. And then I'm back into the day and going about my business and my work. So those are the three suggestions, and I'm going to review them real quick. The first is retreat to love. Say, I love you when it feels like a chore or when it's something that you resent doing. All right, you have to somehow cultivate a posture of love. Number two, in order to avoid distractions, use sacred images and sound, either white noise. I know some people have used Gregorian chant. I think for me, that would be too distracting because I would start listening to the words and thinking about it. It'd be almost like reading. So I like the white noise. But, you know, try it out. Talk to your spiritual director. Talk to friends and get some advice there. And then third, what I called framing, or maybe better, bookending. Have a warm up and then a warm down to kind of get you into a deeper place of prayer. You can't just go straight into it. It's like jumping into cold water, right? You've got to ease in. Okay, so there are the three suggestions in order to avoid thinking of prayer as a chore. We'll take a quick break and then we'll be back with our saint of the week, Saint Alexander of Constantinople, and the embarrassing death of Arius in the public bathroom, and our Latin word of the week. Well, we just put up a new video class in the new St. Thomas Institute on St. Augustine and his theological nemesis, Pelagius. Pelagius was an early heretic, and we're going to talk about another heretic here in a little bit, Arius. But Pelagius was a heretic who taught that essentially we don't need grace in order to be holy or to be saved. And of course, because of that, he denied the doctrine of original sin. And in a sense, as I said in the video class in the New St. Thomas Institute, he was kind of the early megachurch evangelist. He kind of had a self-help, pull-yourself-up-by-your-bootstraps theology, and it was extremely popular. And Augustine went toe-to-toe with him. So in that video class, if you're a member, please check it out. We go through the 6 points of Pelagius, false points, and then the 8 counterpoints given by the Catholic Church against the Pelagians in that movement. It's a very interesting topic. And one of the reasons we did it is my fear is that modern Christians are sliding towards Pelagianism. Whether we know it or not, we're sliding towards Pelagianism. We don't think that the sacraments are important, or a life of prayer, or even a life of penance and discipline. Instead, we want the easy news. And the great irony in that is that true joy and true peace comes through observing the gospel, which, of course, entails carrying the cross. But true joy and true peace is found there because that's what we should do. That's doing the right. So if you're a member of the New St. Thomas Institute, check it out. It's the latest video this week going the latest content when you sign in. And if you're not a member, you can become a member. Just go to newstthomas.com, and there's an intro video there telling you about it. And if it's for you, if you want to learn more and take classes in philosophy and theology, sign up. It's only $25 a month, and I think you'll enjoy it. Okay, so let's look at St. Alexander of Constantinople. He, of course, lived at the time of the great transition from persecution of the church to toleration under Constantine. And he's best known for being the Archbishop of Constantinople during the controversy surrounding a priest named Arius. Now, Arius got himself into trouble because he was preaching publicly that there was a time in which Christ was not, or the second person of the Trinity was not. In other words, the second person of the Trinity, according to Arius, was created just like the angels. Now, he was the highest, he was above the angels, but he was a creature nonetheless. And therefore, the substance of the second person of the Trinity, or of Christ, in his nature, was different than that of God the Father. Now, the Catholic Church responded to this by teaching the doctrine of homoousios, or consubstantiality. As we say in the Nicene Creed every Sunday, that Christ is consubstantial with the Father, the same substance. They're of the same substance. That was put there in order to refute Arius and those who followed him, who were called the Arians. Unfortunately, as St. Jerome remarked, the whole world groaned and found itself to be Arian, because the majority of the church at that time, especially the bishops, favored either Arianism full out or semi-Arianism, which was a mitigated form of this heresy. Now, St. Alexander comes into play because he is the bishop of Constantinople, and there's great pressure on him from the Byzantine emperor to allow Arius back into communion with the Catholic Church. In other words, the politician is telling the bishop, you need to give communion to Arius and reconcile him with the church. Now, of course, Alexander wanted to reconcile him in the proper way, which is through repentance, but Arius would not. And Arius was being diplomatic, and he was being seductive with his language. He was equivocating on a lot of words, and Alexander knew this, and he did not want to allow Arius back into full communion with the church because he knew Arius was still a heretic. And so the tradition goes that St. Alexander prayed to God and said, I do not want to give communion to Arius. I would rather you just take me from this earth or bring an end to Arius, right? So let me die or let Arius die. So the story goes, Arius enters the imperial city. His followers are thrilled. Everyone is excited. He's making a bit of a scene. He's coming through the streets, and he's coming to the church. And this will be a great public display that Arius is back in the fold. And really, it's a symbol that his heresy is triumphing in the Catholic Church. But along the way, he has a little rumbling in his tummy, and he can't go on, so he asks if there's a bathroom nearby. There is. He goes into the bathroom to use it, and he never comes out. His entrails leave him in that episode, in that movement, and he dies. And that's the end of Arius. And you can see this occasionally. I wish this was like a visual, a video, because we could put it up. But there are certain icons. There's one icon in particular where you can see Arius sitting on a toilet and all of his hair is standing on end, and he's got this horrible look on his face and he's dying. And it's celebrating the triumph of orthodoxy and the divine retribution of God against Arius for his presumption to maintain in his heresy and try to be in full communion with the Catholic Church. So St. Alexander did not live much longer than Arius. And while he was dying, he denoted the man he would like to be as his successor to his diocese, a man named Paul. And this shows a great holiness in St. Alexander. He warned all of his priests, all of his presbyterate, against a heretic named Macedonius, who became the Bishop of Constantinople and taught a heresy called Macedonianism. And this heresy denied the deity of the Holy Spirit, said the Holy Spirit was not consubstantial with the Father. So it was kind of like Arius's error with regard to God the Son, this time with God the Holy Spirit. So not only did St. Alexander combat one heresy, he had enough foresight to see a future heresy coming, and he warned his clergy in the church of that heresy. So a great man of faith, St. Alexander of Constantinople, pray for us. All right, our Latin word of the week is precari, which is a verb, and it means to pray, to pray. In fact, our word comes from this Latin word through French. So the French muddled the Latin, and then we muddled the French, and we get the word pray or prayer. And one word in particular in English that's related to the original Latin is precarious. Like you are in a precarious situation. It means either, some debate on how this word got its meaning in English, but it means either that you need a prayer, you're in a difficult situation, or you're hanging on there just by a prayer or by the bidding of another earthly person. So if you're in a precarious position, literally in Latin, it means you're in a situation requiring prayer or petition. Well, if you've enjoyed this episode, this podcast, I have two things for you. The first is, if you wouldn't mind, please rate it on iTunes. You can go into iTunes at The Taylor Marshall Show, and you can rate it 1 star to 5 star. All I ask is for an honest review. Of course, I love the 5 stars. I love to see those, but I want an honest review. And then if you could say something about the show, I love reading that, and it's helpful to other people. And it, most of all, the reason I ask this is it helps other people in iTunes find this podcast. So if you like it and you would like other people to enjoy it and to learn from it, please go in there and rate it in iTunes. I would really appreciate it. And then secondly, the free short book called God's Birthday, which I've been giving away at the website, taylormarshall.com. We're going to be taking that off soon. And so if you haven't signed up for it and you haven't downloaded it, I would encourage you to do that soon, because we're going to be taking it down and it won't be available. I will be expanding it and editing it, and it'll be released as a book hopefully later on in the year in time for next Christmas. But this initial version will be phased out. So if you like it, go ahead to taylormarshall.com. In the upper right corner, you can sign up and receive your copy of God's Birthday, Why Christ Was Born on December 25th and Why It Matters. So check that out. All right, well, thanks so much for listening again to this podcast. I appreciate you so much. I love hearing from you. I'm greatly encouraged by you. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said that we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Ah, there it is, the old music. I hope you like it. God bless. Peace out.